A gaggle of gays gagging on gossip, love, sex advice, and your questions. Produced and recorded in New York City, this is Ask the Boys.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to Ask the Boys, a roundtable show where we answer your Q's so you can play with your A's. A show where we give it to you straight-ish with absolutely no chaser. Call into our show with your questions or comments. Our show number is 424-327-5282. That's 4243-ASK-ATB.
In this episode, we discuss homosexuality in the club scene. Are dance parties going from black and white to gray and gay? Queer Eye for the Next Gen Guy. We talk about Karamo's recent interview on his thoughts of overly sexualized gay men. Fetish Gone Too Far. We swap our views on one husband's cuckolding hangups, all on this episode of
Ask the Boys.
Slurp it up and sip it down. I'm talking water, boys, because I'm Anthony and I'm all wet.
I'm Jordan and I prefer my lubes organic.
Where did Whoopi Goldberg's eyebrows go? Oh, I have them. I'm Justin. You know, people listening out here, I'm sure you didn't know this, but Whoopi has no eyebrows.
She has none. You opened my eyes with this information.
Look, Jordan is still so shocked, he couldn't even spit it out.
I'm literally speechless. Like, it's so weird. When you really look at her face, I don't think she's ever needed them.
She's never had them since the 90s, and no one's ever realized it. So Google her, and you will see she has always shaved her eyebrows because she says she doesn't like them.
Why?
Because she's Whoopi fucking Goldberg. She doesn't need them.
You know, I've always wanted to ask her that. Like, sit her down, have a long conversation.
We'll get there one day. She'll be sitting there with the boys. So, gentlemen, our week. How was our week?
Oh my god!
You know,
god, I'm sorry. I just saw her face.
Are you searching her right now? It?
Yes, that's crazy. I never noticed. I mean, I did, but like, I noticed once or twice. But this is like every picture.
No, Justin showed me this before, and I stared at her photos on Google for hours.
Well, I was on the gram, I was on Insta, and I saw her picture from the Oscars, and I'm like, yep, still no eyebrows. But how was our week?
You know, every time you ask this question, my weeks just blur together. I struggle literally trying to locate topics to talk about my week because I can't remember them. But I
were you in a drug-induced coma or just drug-induced?
I don't think it was a coma.
He's saving up for the coma.
It wasn't quite a coma. I mean, Anthony can attest to that. But I did order a HelloFresh box for my food. Oh. Have you guys ever tried one of those like home delivery food preparation services?
Like Blue Ribbon or something?
Yeah.
No.
Is it called Blue Apron? You just said Blue Ribbon? Well, there goes our possibility of a fucking future sponsorship from Blue Apron.
Is it? It's Blue Ribbon Rentals, right? You can like
Blue Ribbon's got to be something because it Blue, came to my mind like it was real.
Yeah, Pabst's Blue Ribbon is like the cheap beer that everyone drank when they were freshmen in college. So there's that.
Oh, that's probably why it's ingrained in my mind.
I recommend you guys try it. You know, if you enjoy the occasional cooking sesh, then I think that you would like this. I mean, they hand prep all the ingredients for you and hand deliver it to you right to your door.
Yeah, he was like a little Ina Garten today.
I was. I really was. I was talking to the wall and everything like I was on camera.
Good vanilla.
Too bad he had his eyes on my garden the whole time.
Oh, that bush girl.
Oh.
I had a really funny day today. So my friend Sarah, who every time I'm hanging out with her and we want to play music, she opts to play the Songs of Wales.
You have other friends?
I do. Are you envious? Do you want tips? The Songs of Wales.
He's talking about Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
But yeah, so she puts on the Songs of Wales, and Rion, we all know Rion, he was like, no, I want to listen to Britney Spears. And I said, guys.
Yes. Oh my God, I found a new respect for Rion.
What if Britney did a remix of Whale songs? Could you imagine? Let's just for a moment think about what that would sound like. Just think about it. She'd be like, oh, moo. She'd be like, Britney, that's a cow. She'd be like, no. Like, that's the breathy Britney right there.
I like it.
Don't you be making fun of Britney now, girl.
She's no longer breathy. That was pre-bald. It was like, so Britney has evolved. She was Hit Me Baby One More Time Britney. Then she was Bald Britney. Then she was Breathy Britney. And now she is I Gotta Be in Bed by Nine Britney. So
she's looking pretty good, though. That new music video with Tinashe.
Oh my God, she looks amazing. Oh my God,
when she's just playing with her naked on the bed.
Oh, like a slumber party. Oh, it was so hot. I do love me some Britney. She's a really sweet and like humble celebrity, and I fucking love that.
Yes.
And I do like
it's Britney, bitch.
Oh.
And she's here.
Yes. Oh, hey, girl. Hey, Britney, bitch. Yes.
Yeah. First thing that comes to mind when I think of Britney is just breath.
That actually reminds me, okay, sorry, backtrack, to one of my favorite performances. It's when she's like doing Slave for You, and it's like the fucking ABC special of it.
Yeah.
And when the beat like drops for a second, you hear her breathing, she's like, and like it sounds like it's part of the song, and it's the hottest thing ever.
My favorite Britney song, I would say my favorite Britney song is definitely, oh my God. Sorry, I accidentally hit the soundboard and Walking Dead started playing. That is not my favorite Britney song.
I never heard that one.
It's the remix. This is all you hear, ready?
It's Britney, bitch.
She's just in the main title. She's screaming Carl. My favorite Britney song is definitely Toxic. I would say of all the Britneys.
Mine's Circus. Circus is mine.
Circus is good. I think if I had to choose a favorite, it would probably be You Drive Me Crazy.
You Drive Me Crazy.
I just can't sleep.
I'm so excited. I'm in too deep.
As you can see, the gays love Britney.
Yeah.
She's great. I saw her in Vegas once. She was sleepy.
I'm gagged. I'm mad. But I'm
well, speaking of Britney Spears falling asleep... Gay bars, queers, Britney playing in the background, dancing, clubs, Molly water.
Molly, oh. So me and Anthony had the pleasure of going out this Saturday to, I'm sure some of our listeners know, it's called House of Yas.
House of Yas.
It's located here in Brooklyn. It's pretty queer-centric. I enjoy it most of the time. Mm-hmm. But this past weekend kind of turned me to the other side of the fence. You know what I mean?
Turned me or turned me?
Turned her.
He teened, he taunt, he turned.
And he turned her too. No, but yeah, like I understand what you mean by that. I mean,
we were living our lives, our best lives.
We were living our best lives. We didn't just get on stage. We got on the stage's stage. And when we were up there, they were shining the spotlight on us non-fucking-stop. It was so hot.
It was Casino Royale theme, so everyone had a cute little casino-esque attire. Which you look like you're like from the 80s, bitch.
I did look like I was in the 80s.
Hot. Wrong era, but it was cute. I loved it either way.
It was a big dance party, it sounds like.
Yeah. So the big problem that I started running into was there was an overwhelmingly amount of heterosexual male and girlfriend activity.
Yeah.
Now, what I mean by that, it was just very like Morgan Stanley style douchey bros like overtaking the whole club.
I'm so gagged right now. But yeah, he's right.
And as I was dancing there in my Molly Haze, I realized that what is going on with our current gay queer club culture? Do you know what I mean? Is there too much of a merger between the heterosexual and homosexual like culture and lifestyles? Or I just want some clarity and some opinions here. Like, I just kind of felt overwhelmed by that because I've never seen it there at that club before. And then it was just bam, overnight.
It you know, I'm not even going to lie. It was a bit jarring and a little overwhelming because when we got to the second stage, the top part, and we were dancing for a little bit, a group of them kind of gathered around the entrance and they started...
On the stage.
Yeah. And they were like chanting like some like, it wasn't necessarily that they were saying anything bad, but it was just very douchey and bro-y and like out.
To agree with you, I literally felt like I was in high school again and I was standing next to the football team.
Next to the, yes. Like they're next to the jocks and they were like, ooh. Yeah, honestly, I hate saying that, not to stereotype anyone, but that's the kind of people that were there. And that's how it was happening.
Now, I have a question for both of you because you guys have been to House of Yes several times. Me, I'm not, the listeners don't know this, but you guys do. I'm not too much into the club scene. That's really not my thing. Mm-hmm. But is this a gay venue? Is it a queer venue? Is it a mixed crowd venue? Like, what is this venue aimed towards, I guess, would be my question.
So what I gathered, because I went to House of Yes before you guys even moved here the first time, and what I gathered from it was... anybody's welcome type of mentality. No discrimination, I guess, against race, gender, all that.
Orientation,
that makes sense, yeah. Because I'm on their website now and it says, we have created this space as a temple of expression dedicated to connection, creativity, and celebrating life. We believe in the creative energy of every person who enters this space. We believe that performance, dance, and art can inspire and heal us. The world can be a better place. Weird and wonderful. You are beautiful. You belong here. Welcome home. That's pretty cool.
It's an amazing statement, right? It's very moving. It's very powerful. Like, if you were queer and read that, you'd want to go and explore it. But the main problem that I was having there is these guys, they weren't mocking or poking fun. They weren't saying anything terrible to us. But they were creating... An overwhelming environment. The one guy, so they're known for their performances and their eccentric dance parties.
Dancers,
yeah. And this one guy climbed up into one of the performer cages and started going crazy. He didn't belong there. He had to be removed from the club.
Forcefully removed.
Mm-hmm. And they had to raise the cage higher to prevent any further... like, you know, misbehavior. So that to me just kind of put me over the edge. I'm like, come on, guys, you don't come here and make a mockery space. Of the safe space for us. There was a huge segregation between the homosexuality or homosexual community and the heterosexual community.
I think.
You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm. I would say I can't speak to the House of Yes situation, but I can speak to, you know, I don't think we ever talked about this on the show, Jordan, but we were at a bar, Dive Bar Lounge in Midtown, having some drinks, waiting for friends to show up. It's a gay bar. It's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. And as we were sitting there at the bar and talking, I felt my hat just get ripped off my head. And I thought it was just, Anthony's like taken back. Yeah, just ripped off my head. So I thought, you know, it was my friends. They just came in. They're just fucking with me, that kind of thing. So I turn around. No, I don't see anybody behind me that I recognize, but I see this one chick just with her gay friends, and she had, like, you know, just this laugh on her face, a smile, and I'm like, who has my hat? And the guys both looked at her, and you can just tell, like, she was straight.
Yeah.
She was there. She was making a mockery of it all, and she said, I have your hat. I said, well, give it back. So she gives it back to me, and I got in her face. I said, don't ever fucking touch me again. And she goes, why? Yeah. It's not that big of a deal. You are coming into our space that is a gay and lesbian and queer. It is a LGBTQ space. Mm-hmm. And you are coming in, and you are making a mockery of it. And this isn't the first time that this has happened. If there's a bachelorette party, it's like I call it a gay safari.
Instead
of wearing safari hats, they're usually hats shaped like dicks or dick lollipops, dick glasses, anything that could be a fucking penis.
A phallus.
Yeah, it could be a phallus, a metal armor of dildos, and they're going to fucking rock it.
Right.
Because they saw it at Spencer's on sale. But I've seen drag queens get grabbed. I've been touched by straight women, like sexually, like my ass grabbed, everything like that. That's not okay. And in the state of how America is right now, where we're having all these revelations in Hollywood and the media of people that have been sexually assaulted, it's a time that you got to keep your hands to yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
But people feel that when they step into our space, which is a very welcoming space,
they get touchy and they feel that barrier has been brought down.
And they assume that we're fucking touchy.
Because we're not.
I'm not fucking touchy. Don't touch me.
We touch with permission. Sorry. You know, and there and I'm not giving every gay a free pass, because there's some gays that are touching that shouldn't be touched.
Right.
And I've been in fights with gay men grabbing my ass, like, don't touch me.
Right.
But I mean, in our space, there is no such thing as a men's room and a women's room at a gay bar.
Right.
Drag queens are going to use both. Gay men will go into the women's room, and if the women's line is wrong, a fucking lesbian is going to be right there taking a squat at the fucking urinal.
On your urinal. Yeah.
Right.
That also bothered me last night, because
the bathroom situation?
Exactly.
Yeah. That was what
not situation? It wasn't last night. It was on Saturday night. Sorry. But
they all blurred together after that. I don't even fucking remember.
I mean, again, I'm for you use whatever bathroom you want. I'm totally down for that. But women started flooding our restroom and taking over and making it their own space, which is fine. But.
Well, like, not really, though, because the one thing I remembered really pissed me off. I got pushed out of there by a girl, and, like, I didn't even get to wash my fucking hands, and I made my way back in there to wash my hands.
Well, you got pushed out of the women's room?
No, the men's room. Like, we bloop, yeah. And, like, I was with our friend Matt, and I looked at Matt, I was like, I'm going back in there, and he was like, wait, I was like, no, I need to wash my hands. I feel gross. Like, I'm not going to go around. Like, I can't do that. That wears me out.
And so, my thing is, right now, in the state of affairs in America, I mean, a lot of other countries are worse, but we don't have total acceptance yet. So we still need these safe spaces. I mean, hate crimes, especially gay hate crimes, are still on the rise.
Yeah.
You know, we're in the double digits now with transgendered members of our community that have been killed in violent deaths. You know, like, there's still hatred that's going on in regards to us. So these safe spaces, they're sanctuaries.
Yeah.
We discovered ourselves in these places.
Yes.
They're not just dance parties. They're the ability for us to discover ourselves.
That's deep.
I love that.
It's very true.
It's very true. And, like, and that's not saying, like, oh, don't come, don't be a part of it. But it's definitely a respect. Respect it, you know? And I want to kind of go back to what Jordan was saying about all those straight guys at House of Yes. Because in reality, what really irked me wasn't so much, again, they were the chanting or the thing. It's the feel that they provided. It was the feel of the fact that they were there and acting that douchey. But if they were approached by a gay person, you could still sense the level of discomfort in them.
Felt like they were doing that because they may have been uncomfortable.
Yeah, I agree. And it felt very like, oh, here's a security blanket, you know, and, like, they're going to band together and, like, do all of this stuff. Another experience I had was this kid, Dan, who came up to me. He wasn't a part of the group, but he's like, oh yeah, like, da da da. He's like, oh, you're gay and all this stuff. And he wanted me to be, like, his wingman. We're not all wingmen. Just because you're straight and we're gay doesn't mean you're going to meet us and we're going to be your wingmen.
Like, well, yeah, no. The bathroom scene becomes quite interesting when a lot of drunk guys are drunk. Or straight guys are drunk. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there are some interesting moments.
Most straight guys are gay when
I know. Let me just tell you, there was a little bit of a cruising action going on one time when I was there. And I'll just leave it at that for the imagination of our listeners. But all in all, I think that we are on a movement here where, I mean, I do appreciate the acceptance that is happening right now between heterosexual and homosexual world, like, communities. But I think it's being a little forced too heavily sometimes, like,
and
especially
Saturday. If you're going into those places, you need to just let loose and let live.
Right.
You really do. Because I'm not extremely bothered by straight people showing up. I'm really not. Because they've always respected their space and respected our space. So I'm okay with straight people coming into our environment. But once it starts escalating with hey, we're not okay with you being here, Bitch, I'm the host, you're the guest.
Hey, fucking men.
So speaking of hosts and guests, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Yeah, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. There's a next-gen version of it out on Netflix, and if you have not caught up, we highly recommend that you do because it is such a great show with an amazing positive message and a positive outlook on our community, as well as other communities, the other communities, the ones that they're touching and helping. It's a beautiful, beautiful show to tune into.
I'm guilty. I haven't seen it yet, guys. I'm so sorry.
I binge-watched the whole season.
I'm going to punish you later.
So QWERTY is reporting that Karamo, who is one of the queers, I guess, on Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, one of the gay men for this show, he sat down for an interview with Gay Times to talk about everything that he saw wrong in the gay community, and he was starting off with dating applications. He is not a fan of any of these dating websites, and he thinks that, you know, going old school and meeting people in bars and clubs is his way to go. But what really sent people in a tizzy is when he was talking about gay men being over-sexualized. And he said, on the last season of America's Next Top Model, they had an episode where they go to Los Angeles Pride, and the shots are of these go-go boys with their dicks out and people grinding on each other. And I was like, quote, oh my gosh, this can't be the image this producer is sending out to middle America when they think about Pride, end quote. It is so much more than that. It's about our struggle, our journey, our ancestors, how far we come, and where we're going. He believes when gay people act like, quote, sexual deviants, end quote, it only validates people's prejudices against the entire LGBTQ community, and he doesn't think that's cool. Now,
sorry to cut you off. Don't you feel the same way about Drag Race?
Drag Race is different. So Drag Race is a performance. Drag Race is a reality TV show. Pride and who you are is you. It's not a TV show. It's not, you know, I don't think they're comparable.
Okay. I don't think we're hypersexualized.
I kind of do.
I don't. He said, oh, because that TV show, you saw the gay pride and you saw the dicks out. It's like, yeah, well, every other single TV show, you see a strip club and you see the tits out. Like, we are just as slutty as women out there that are wearing booty shorts and skirts.
Here's my issue. If you look at it, I love him. Oh, I would love to be in a relationship with him. I would really love to. But if you look at his Instagram posts, I mean, he just posted something 2 months ago that said, and he's standing there naked, okay, and literally right to where his dick starts forming is like the cutoff of his bathroom mirror.
Of the towel.
Well, he doesn't have a towel on in this. He's naked.
Oh.
And it says, just one last thought selfie for 2017 just to remind the girls, LOL. Happy New Year, ready for 2018. So you can't have this interview 2 months in the future after posting a thought selfie.
A self-titled thought selfie.
He's doing this for self-gratification.
Do you think he's a little bit too into himself?
Every single photo is him and his face or his body.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would love us to get to a point where nudity and sexuality and even sex in general is not that big of a deal. I mean, I was explaining to a friend the other day who was inquiring more about the podcast that we make and why we made it. And I said, you know what's so funny about when it comes to sex? She said, what? I said, everybody has it and not everybody even wants to talk about it. I said, this show is literally for that purpose. We talk about things that make people uncomfortable, but everybody is curious about it at the exact same time.
Yep.
It's just human nature. So I don't think people are extremely overly sexualized. They're just living their true self. I mean, am I going to go and start like butt fucking somebody on Fifth Avenue? Probably not. I don't have that on my to-do list.
Probably for me.
You call this out. So what's Folsom Street Festival? What's Folsom Street East here in New York City? What is this? It's publicized. It's out in the public. It's a basically big fuck fest in Chelsea and in San Francisco.
But see, that doesn't bother me.
That's then what
That bothers.
I think that he has a good comment here that we are overly sexualized. You don't see like heterosexual people out there fucking in the middle of a street.
Yeah, it's called Mardi Gras.
I was just thank you. They just had it. There's tits and there's beads everywhere you look.
Folsom is dedicated strictly to sex. Mardi Gras is there's some sex there, but it's mainly more of like a celebration of drinking and like partying and like you know.
I just think it's about tits. I don't recall it being about, you know, being proud of anything besides tits.
I just think tits when I think Mardi Gras too.
I mean, it's like playing ring toss for tits.
Like, okay, don't get me wrong. I understand where you're coming from and I understand what you're saying because when we do events, they tend to be more geared towards sex. But I don't think that that's because we're hypersexualized. I think it's because we were repressed for so long. We want to express this sexuality. Should we be putting it so out in the public with an event? Like no. Okay, maybe not. I will
you
do that.
You literally have people walking across the High Line watching dudes piss on each other.
Jesus. I mean, I'm just going to play devil's advocate here. We live in New York City. You're going to see people pissing on each other constantly.
I've had
more people pissing than I have at any Irish festival on St. Patrick's Day. Anywhere.
No, you
that's
had
just every given day here.
You had Betty from, you know, Czechoslovakia or Russia watching two bears fist fuck and piss on each other in Folsom.
So, okay, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, don't fist fuck somebody outside of a Burger King in Manhattan. Like, don't, like, I think there's a time and place for everything. And if you want to walk around in your underwear and pride, I mean, this is, guys, like, and everyone listening, you have to remember, this is New York City. It's legal for women to walk around topless here. There's a museum of sex. I mean, there was a building in Manhattan, I'm pretty sure we covered it, where it was a giant fucking, like, 80-foot penis drawn on the side of the building. It was artwork. Like, nudity here is different than nudity in, you know, middle of America.
Yeah. And I mean...
And you can do it. You can do it, like, classy. Yeah, I would say pissing on another man in the middle of broad daylight in Manhattan is probably not the classiest, but I don't think nudity is something to be ashamed of. I would say when it comes to Karamo being a host of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, which is supposed to empower men to feel sexy and feel wanted and desired and everything like that, and clearly that's the image that he gives off because he feels sexy and desirable, hence why he posts the photos. I don't think it's fair to take people during this pride celebration who also want to feel sexy and desired and everything and kind of knock them down a peg.
Is pride the moment to feel sexy and desired?
I think everyone should feel sexy and desired, but pride is the ability for the people that aren't feeling sexy and desired to be pushed by everyone else who's showing that they are sexy and desirable.
Also, may I add, Lollapalooza is a music festival, and more people have sex there than any, even a sex festival, and 90% of the attendees are straight. So...
That's a festival.
Well, okay.
So festivals, parties, siestas... Sex during any of these sexestas, a no Siesta. From me, a no from probably everybody here. But I would say my final answer, Karamo, I would say practice what you preach. Jordan, what's your final answer on this?
I agree with him.
Yeah, I have to say that. Practice what you preach, dude.
No, I agree with Karamo. I think that we as a gay male culture do express a little bit more than we should sometimes.
There we go.
Oh, okay.
Because there is a middle America culture that is seeing a lot of this, exactly like Drag Race, this fantasized, like dramatized idea version of the gay community, version of us, and it's not exactly true.
And so. I can see that. I can definitely see that, which is why I always want there to be more positive light shining on us. But again, I don't know, like if I'm going out, like when I went to Pride, I wanted to wear something like super slutty and like go out, but it wasn't because I wanted to get fucked. I just wanted to look good and feel great, like Justin said. And it's no different from when my cousin goes out and she's a girl and she's like, oh, I just want to dress slutty tonight. When we wear less things, people just look more. That's all.
So basically, there is a silver lining for everyone and a gold in shower lining for everyone. So, Drag Race recap. Burp.
Burp. Okay. Burp.
This is the intro. Burp. That's what I recall.
Was that RuPaul?
Yes.
All right, Anthony. Anthony just showed. Okay, guys. So when Drag Race premiered this last episode, I had to fucking leave.
He had to leave. Halfway.
30 minutes left of the show.
He did not see the fucking twist at the end.
I just saw it today.
His reaction was life. I got to see it in real fucking time. I was gagged just by his reaction. And I was gagged again by the episode because I still cannot.
I was livid. I was so pissed off. She fucking won. That bitch won.
She won.
She
won. First of all, she won the whole fucking, let's be real. She won the whole fucking season.
She won 5 out of 6.
People. She won the season.
She was on her way to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And she walked out.
She literally had the choice. She had to choose one of the bottom three to eliminate and one queen of the eliminated five to bring back.
You know, I was pretty surprised that Aja wasn't brought back.
I was pissed that Aja wasn't brought back. However, I liked Aja and Morgan out of all of the eliminated queens. I wanted them to come back. So the fact that it was Morgan made me feel really good.
Right. Who do you think is going on to the, so how many more episodes do we have?
One, two, probably 3 episodes and a recap.
3 episodes and a recap. So we, excuse me. Oh God. So let me think here.
Top three, I think is going to be Shangela.
Shangi. She's come around for me. I mean,
she should
hallelujah.
Win this season. Hallelujah.
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 I'm kind of, because, you know, Ben was my number one. So now I have to choose another number one.
I'm still gagged. Okay, guys, really, and I'm sorry, spoiler alert. For anyone who did not tune in, Bibi Zahara and Ben de la Creme were chosen as the top two queens of the evening. And they were supposed to lip sync for the legacy and choose who goes home and then choose who gets to stay.
Yep.
Upon going to choose their lipsticks, Bandela, behind the producer's back, snuck in a Sharpie and a whiteout in her bra. When the producers turned around, she scribbled out Trixie's name and wrote Dela on the fucking lipstick. After the lip sync battle, which she won and received her cash tip of $10,000, mind you, RuPaul asked her which queen would come back, and she chose Morgan. And then
I wish BB would have won.
I really wish BB would have won. And then she asked her which queen should go home. And she flipped that lipstick over and said she's going home.
I literally got so mad.
You were pissed. You walked up. You're like, I'm fucking done. I was like, no, you have to. You literally have to stay just because I wanted him to hear Aja called Ben de la Creme, Ben de la Christ.
You know that meme of Tyra Banks screaming at that model?
Yes.
It's perfect. This fits perfectly. Perfectly.
How did she throw away $100,000?
In the title.
The crown and the Hall of Fame.
Like, I don't even know. I mean, I guess she was unhappy. She didn't like choosing the queens. Like,
Well, between us, there's a lot more drama that's been going down. Apparently there's these new posts that are going up right now, and Bendela used the term Bendela Christ in her one of her tweets, and Shangela came for her neck. And apparently there were ulterior motives to what Bendela Creme did.
Okay.
So I actually, nothing's come to light yet, but okay. I'm hoping that this comes to fruition soon because I want to know what the hell's popping. This shit is crazy.
All right, so let's wrap this up real quick. So top three for me, I guess now, is Shangela, Trixie, and I don't even know Morgan. You know?
I agree. Like, I like Morgan McMichaels. Like, I like her feisty energy. And normally I would say Bibi Zahara Benet, but she actually pissed me off this season.
Yeah.
So I want the top three to be Shangela, Morgan McMichaels, and Trixie Mattel.
Okay. We'll go with that. I mean, I do like Trixie more. I relate to Trixie more than I do Shangela because of Trixie's show with Katya.
I will say Trixie grew on me this season. Like, I wasn't a huge Trixie fan. I didn't dislike Trixie by any means. I actually enjoyed Trixie because of Katya. But I don't know. I think it's maybe her style of drag. I wasn't feeling the cheek cut earlier in the season or even in her season. But she's really grown on me. And I think she's actually done a few subtle changes on the cheek and they work out really well. And she's been looking really good and really rocking it this season. So I'd root for her. But Shangela is going to be my number one always.
I guess we'll see.
Hallelujah. We'll see.
Hallelujah.
Only time will tell.
So we have, we're going to move on from this. We have some viewer questions. So before we started recording tonight, we did a live Instagram broadcast to a few of our followers. I think a handful of them tuned in to watch us be ratchet on camera.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
It was cute. I think we should.
It was actually really great.
We should do that more often. All of you out there, follow our Instagram. You'll see us live broadcast.
And Jordan, what's our Instagram?
It is at Ask the Boys Podcast.
Yeah, and we typically record on Monday nights.
So, Monday nights. So yep. be aware and stay tuned.
Be ready. Be looped up.
We asked a few questions or asked our handful of listeners or watchers or viewers to ask some questions. So we're going to start off by answering a few of them here.
Yeah, our one viewer, Annie, she wanted us to talk about feminism versus man-hating. So talk about both these topics. And I think this is going to be an interesting one because you see it. Someone could be extremely feminist while also inadvertently or intentionally hating on someone who's male.
So let's define these real fast.
Yeah.
So
what does feminism mean to us as three gay men?
Means to me female women power and empowerment of oneself. Now there's probably a lot more to that definition out there, but to me, that's what it means.
I would say feminism for me is making women's voices louder at the same tone that men's voices have always been.
Right.
There's always been, they've always had a voice, but it's never been to the same effect as men.
So, I mean, for me, I think feminism actually covers a broader sense, and I don't see it as like, oh, female empowerment or anything. I see feminism truly as the fight for equality amongst gender and gender identities. Just raw, true equality. What's something that we've never had and we probably honestly won't. But that's what I see, the fight towards that.
And it's just, it's equal respect. It's equal it's equal power in everything. Like, this is 2018. I don't understand why women are not making the exact same money as men. There is no logical fucking explanation behind. Like, I would love one of these conservatives to give me a explanation as to why someone shouldn't be making the same amount as a peer who's doing the exact same fucking work. Like, that makes no sense to me. Yeah. As a man, it makes no sense for me to tell a woman what to do with her body. Because I will never be a fucking woman. So who am I to tell a woman what to do with her own uterus?
Right.
I will never have to. Yeah, I don't have, like, don't tell me what to do with my testes. I won't tell you what to do with your uterus. Like, it's very simple. Yeah, I won't even tell another gay man what to do with his testes. Like, it's my body and it's just mine. Yours is yours. Like, it's so common sense. I just don't understand. But let's talk about, like, what Andy was asking. Like, is feminism, like, man-hating? No. I'm going to say no. Yeah. So right off the bat, I'm going to say no. And I want to make it an explanation as to the differences. You can be pro-woman and not be anti-man. Just like you can be pro-gay and not anti-straight. You know, like, you can be pro-Christian and not anti, you know, Muslim. Like, you can find self-pride without finding that pride by ruining or reducing someone's self-worth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is there this mix of feminism that can turn into man-hating? Absolutely. I mean, I've seen it. Like,
I've seen it in action. Yeah. And like belittling a man or, oh, you know, mansplaining. Yes. I'm going to be honest. Mansplaining is a real thing. I will say there's one case of like man hating that I see here in New York, which actually it kind of grinds my gears every time I see it. When you see the announcements on the train that say like what to do and what not to do on the train, and they have these little stick figures, it's like no dancing on the poles or give up your seat for the elderly. There's one that drives me up a fucking wall, and it says no. It says, dude, stop man spreading. And I'm like, you know, there's so many other ways for people to take up space on the train. It's not men that are just stretching their legs.
Yeah.
There's people, I've seen women put purses and bags directly next to them. And I've seen women wearing pants also spread their legs or stick their legs out. Like, it just, it irritates me because it was like, out of all the things that you could have listed off, it was like, dude, stop the man spreading. It's like, really? Like, we had to go there. Yeah, so it's just, I don't know, I find that to be a tone deaf message. There was ways to broadcast, here's how to save space on the train without directly saying like, men, you're the problem, you know. So I would say that would be a man hating over a feminist argument.
I think it's more of like an act thereof, not necessarily hating man. Or man-hating.
Give me
or,
explanation. Or, like examples.
Men traditionally spread legs. I mean, it could be... I think it's the... How do I say? It's not directed towards men. It's more of like...
It's a common thing that we...
It's a word that's used as a commonality amongst people. As a reference.
I can see that. Because people... I have seen people tell girls to stop man-spreading. Because men, like, yeah.
I just think it's interesting because, like, the thing literally says, dude, stop the spread.
Yeah.
That's so they're referencing it as just men doing it, probably?
Yeah. Well, they say dude, yeah.
I would take dude as a man, yeah. So, Jordan, let me hear your thoughts on this. Feminism versus man-hating.
Shit. Well, I don't really... I don't know. Like, man-hating. So... what comes to my mind is American Horror Story cult.
I was gonna mention that when they were like, you little turd. Like, yeah. I was gonna mention that where it's very belittling.
Yeah. What's that fucking girl's name?
I don't remember.
Like the one that plays in Girls.
I still don't remember.
You're terrible with pop culture, guys.
We're just terrible.
Anyway, yeah, they were doing that whole like turd thing with the men. Like, that's extreme man hating, but they were also feminists. Mm. And I don't really think that. I think it's like a black and white situation to me personally. There's extreme cases on both sides, but and they can overlap as well.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, I don't know. I can see them overlapping. I can see strong-willed feminists becoming men haters, but I don't think that they are the same. Again, because I feel that feminism is a fight towards equality of everyone. And when you get to the point of man-hating, there's no longer an equality there. Now you want them to be inferior. And that goes beyond feminism. That's a whole different scope of things.
Right. I am so pro everyone. Like, I think everyone in this world needs to feel empowered and equal. Mm-hmm. I have no reason to believe anyone in this world should feel less than and or be treated less than. There's just no point in that. And I'm one of those people that I will never find pride in myself out of the reduced treatment or harassment or bullying of another. Because if you need to reduce someone else's pride to feel better, your pride was just a watered ass down Dollar General instant ramen style pride. It wasn't like homegrown, organic, free range, fucking grass fed pride. It was the good pride.
Organic.
This is like this is some like fake ass fucking pride. So
your pride has GMOs.
Yeah. So that's just how I feel on that subject.
And speaking of grass-fed organic, we have another question here. This guy called in not too long ago and asked a question live, but he also tuned in to our recording and he asks us, his name's Seth, what's our favorite Fire Island memory / gay vacation memory? Do any of you have any of those?
I've never been to Fire Island, so I can't speak on the Fire Island.
Do you have gay vacation?
I gotta think about this.
I've never been to Fire Island, but, you know,
We're going.
I've had my island set on fire, and that was good.
Shut up. I can
say, so one memory that still makes me laugh to this day, I was visiting Florida, and this was years ago. Visiting Florida, went to gay clubs, gay bars, like all this. I had like this. Went to the nude beach every day. Like, it was great. And I was just really turned on. So I said, you know what? Like, I'm going to find a hookup while I'm down here. So met up with this guy. And he's like, okay, like, we need to find a place to go. Well, he can't host. And I was staying, with friends, and they can't host. So I was like, what do we do? He said, well, let's drive somewhere secluded. Now, horrible idea, but I was like, oh, fuck it, it's a vacation. Fuck my life if I die. So I get in this stranger's car, and we start driving around. He ends up driving to NASA. Now, people in other countries that don't know this, NASA launches their rockets off in Florida because certain parts of Florida are very rarely hit by hurricanes. So they're actually the safest place to launch rockets. And Florida is extremely flat. So, and there's a lot of like marsh area. So there's not a lot of people around. So we drove to the entrance of NASA, like official NASA, like fucking guarded towers and shit. Cause it's on this extremely long stretch of road. And there was like this parking lot, like before you got to the front gates. So we just pulled over there and started hooking up. And I was so nervous. Cause I'm like, oh my God, I'm fucking on NASA property. Like, this is like, this is just not someone's, like, this isn't like an old, like, hotel parking lot or something. Like, this is fucking NASA, man. So like, yeah, we're sitting there hooking up, and I couldn't do it because I kept on looking out the window thinking that there was going to be a cop car driving by. So, I mean, finally we both finished and he dropped me back off. But yeah, I can actually brag, out of all the places that I ever had like a really fast quickie, NASA.
Oh, geez.
Now that I publicly like said this, they're going to be like, oh, I could just see FBI agents with headphones on. They're like, we got him. We got a confession. They've been tapping my wires for years.
Oh, yes. I love that.
Well, I don't know. Did I mention this before? I don't know. But I do have one Fire Island story for you guys. So there is a location in Fire Island. It kind of splits the Pines. The Pines is a town.
It splits my legs.
And Cherry Grove, which is like another town.
Cherry Grove. I had a one night stand in Cherry Grove. That sounds like Candyland, like a fucking strip club in Candyland.
And believe it,
Grove.
Believe it or not, that's where the lesbians are.
Oh.
Go figure.
But anyway, so there's a spot between Cherry Grove and the Pines called the Meat Rack. So I was there, I was drinking, and I was, you know, curious, and I decided to go for a little walk. I take my time, and I go on this long walk down the beach, kind of soaking up the moment, because Fire Island's beautiful. It's a beautiful place to be. It's very anti, like, hate, anti-anxiety, all this. It's just a wonderful vibe to be in. And I go up into the meat rack, and I just start walking around. And I come across this secluded area with a lot of brush. And I go in, and this like rather attractive Latina man follows me back into the brush. And any of you out there know I'm preferable to Latina men. So I greet him.
Beaver first.
And I kneel down in the bushes, and I do my thing. So I do that. I go back with my friends. Later that evening, I have an itch on both of my kneecaps. And come to find out, motherfucker, I got poison ivy on my kneecaps.
Oh my God. Anthony, speaking to the mic.
Come to find out.
It was bad. I was scratching for days.
Poison ivy.
Oh my God.
Poison ivy.
Boyzen.
Boys,
boys
in ivy.
In ivy.
And I think that's going to be the title of the show.
Yes. Oh, he had boys in ivy, and it
yes,
was
he did.
Bad.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call it my favorite Fire Island memory, but it is one of the most
See, it was
memorable.
So good. He memorable. Can't even fucking formulate a sentence. It was just so good.
It was.
His knee still hurt.
It's just a heads up to you guys out there listening. Fire Island is covered in poison ivy.
So I just had a vision, if I may. You were like it's not Nicole Kidman. Oh, what is her name? She's from Kill Bill. What is her name?
That's
Uma not
Thurman.
Oh, Uma Thurman. Thank you. Definitely not Nicole Kidman. I just had a vision of her as Poison Ivy. Like, that was you, Jordan. Like, you just morphed into her.
Yeah.
And you had that little ring where you like blow like shit on their face, and they're like, oh, and they're like in love, and then when you kiss them they die, because I feel like that's like our relationships. When we kiss boys, like, the relationships die.
And
so
it's
there we
over
go.
And to add on that, my favorite gay vacation memory would have to be when I was in Puerto Vallarta sailing on the boat with a bunch of gay boys in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
I need to have a gay vacation.
It was beautiful. Thank you, Seth, for the question.
So we have a question from another person, and it says, not sure if this is a common post, but I have an internal debate as to my fetishes and what turns me on. Namely, cuckolding, wife swapping, etc.
What's cuckolding?
We're going to talk about it in a minute. Let me just do the question. We'll get back to that. My biggest issue with this whole thing is how demasculating it is and how it makes me feel. Sharing the love of my life with somebody else, it seems hot and awesome in the heat of the moment. But when it becomes anything more than that, jealousy and insecurity rears their ugly heads. Whenever I approach a new partner with anything like this, even easing into it, I feel very judged and like I'm doing something wrong for liking it. Any advice or similar experiences would be greatly appreciated. So we're going to circle back to what Jordan was asking. So what is the act of cuckolding?
The act
sounds weird.
Cuckolding is like you're married. Like, all right, you're a wife and you are going to, like, to make your husband to cuckold, you would go sleep with someone else.
He, partner like, sharing.
Yeah. It's like, but he would know. Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So think of it. I hate calling it like consensual cheating, but it's the act of getting turned on and getting off to the visual of a stranger fucking your partner. So it's not a threesome.
Okay. But is he watching? Are they watching?
Usually the person is watching and getting off. It's kind of like porn in real life.
Yeah, it's like they wanted to watch a porn with that person in it, so they just made it happen.
It's like watching an extramarital affair as a porn.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, that makes sense.
There is a HBO show called Gigolos that does that, by the way.
It's very possible. And cuckolding is extremely... I would say in the gay community, cuckolding is probably kind of a thing. I mean, I know there's a lot of partner swapping that goes on in the gay community. There's a lot of open appointments. My cuckold appointment.
Can I book one now?
I have a cuckold appointment at 12:30. I would say there's a lot of partner sharing that happens in the gay community. So open relationships. So I don't think cuckolding happens that often. But in the straight community, I feel like cuckolding is a fetish. Now, here's what's interesting. So let's dissect this. So his biggest issue with the whole thing is how demasculating it makes him feel.
But he likes
that's kind of the point of cuckolding.
Yeah.
It's another alpha male is coming in and taking your partner, and there's nothing you could do about it. Like, that is kind of what cuckolding is.
It's like, it's the, right, and it's weird to say, but it's the same as those fetishes where, you know, you want to be broken down. Like people that go to dungeons and some people want to get spanked. Some people want to be belittled and talked and down to and embarrassed and feel shameful. It's that same type. Like if you might
get struggle.
It's a power struggle and that gets them off. And that's,
So I think he likes the idea of it. I think that's the thing. He likes the idea of it. And he probably saw this in porn. And I think that's what his main issue is coming from. Porn cuckolding is simulated. So you're the outsider looking in. There is no emotional tie or personal tie for you in this situation.
Yes.
But now that you're actually doing it, now you're starting to realize maybe this is not the fetish for you. And I think he needs to reevaluate what he's into.
I agree.
Because, I mean, there's some porn I've watched that I was like, this is hot. I don't think I could successfully do this in real life.
So what's his problem here? Is it how demasculine? Oh God, I can't talk this evening. Demasculine? Or
that he's
feeling judged? Is he feeling judged or demasculated? Like, I don't know. What is...
what the concern is. Yeah, because I know that he feels demasculated, and that's one thing he doesn't like about it. But he also does want it, so he doesn't feel comfortable asking?
I think he likes the idea of being demasculated.
I think he likes the idea of cuckolding, but is not a natural fan of cuckolding. Is what this
fisting
is.
And me.
Like it wasn't a...
Yeah, so Jordan likes the idea of fisting, right?
Right, I do.
And but you wouldn't fist yourself. I don't know why I asked you that with such certainty. Like you wouldn't fist yourself?
No, sometimes I feel judged if I'm asked if to ask somebody to fist me.
Yeah? Is this how you fist?
This is Sparta!
But like,
yes.
Do you partake? Like, do you fist?
I've never.
Would you? Or would you just... Would you like the idea of it? That's the thing. Yeah, like...
This is what he needs to figure out.
Yeah. Because I like the idea. Don't get me wrong. I like the idea of fisting, too. That shit's hot and crazy. Would I do it? No! You're not putting a fucking fist in me. You've lost your damn mind. I'll watch it in porn. Like,
I think that he needs to find a different outlet of obtaining people with similar interests as him with this.
And I think maybe he needs to ease into it, kind of like training wheels. I would say if cuckolding and wife swapping isn't your thing yet and you want to get to that point, maybe start working on your levels of comfort with threesomes.
Ooh.
Or going to orgies or swingers. Swinger
parties.
Right. I feel like this gentleman may be experimenting with bringing in strangers into the dynamic for the first time. Cuckolding might not be a good first step.
Right.
May I just say that with all the talk we were having earlier about, you know, gay people being over-sexualized, for this man, there is a swinger sex fest happening on March 30th. And all straight people are welcome. So I would check that out.
BYOD. Bring your own dick.
Bring your own dick. Yes, I live for that. Guys, that about wraps it up for our 21st episode of Ask the Boys. Don't forget to subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting service. So you can
podcasting.
Podcasting. God bless you, United States.
God bless United States and this podcast.
And this podcast.
I think I have that still.
Let us.
Yeah.
Yes.
God bless United States.
Go to sleep, Trump. Yes, please do download us on your favorite podcasting service so you can download every new episode as we release it. Trust me, you want us stashed in your pants pocket everywhere you go so you can pull us out and whip it out whenever you want. Also, go ahead and follow us on Facebook. Justin, what's our Facebook page?
Anthony, I'm glad you asked. It's facebook.com/AskTheBoysShow.
You can also follow us on Instagram. Jordan, what's our Instagram page?
How good of you to ask me. It is at Ask the Boys Podcast.
And you can, of course...
And Anthony, what is our Twitter?
Why, thank you, Justin. Our Twitter is at Ask the Boys. We're also now on YouTube. Go ahead and search Ask the Boys. And also subscribe and follow on YouTube so we can change our fucking vanity plate. Thanks.
Until next week.
I'm Anthony.
I'm Jordan.
And I'm going to cuckold both of you. I'm Justin.
Bitch.
All right. Well, everyone, enjoy your night. And Jordan, enjoy Cherry City. Cherry Grove.
He's gonna split my lane to pop my Cherry Grove.
Charity. Chastity.
Okay, good night.
Want to be on the show? Call us at 424-327-5282. That's 4243. Ask ATB.